Yesterday we had the question of how it is we're to learn our Mishnah. We didn't have any write-ins, but we had two fundamentally different approaches to the Mishnah. Approach number one that we entertained was a Mishnah d'lo kechananya. So according to that, we actually were originally in the Mishnah questioning what the din is of Shehiya. And Shehiya would only be mutar after Gerifa or Katima. And then we had an additional machlokas about Chazara at the end. The second way of learning was precisely as Chananya said. Chananya holds there's no problem in a non-Gerufa v'Ketuma even to be Masheh, because you're being Masheh from the daytime. So, well, who cares? You know, we don't have any chashash at that point. As long as it's already cooked to the point at which it's edible. So it's Kema'achal ben Drusai, that's sufficient, and then you don't have to worry about anything, whatever the anything is. Maybe you come to Bichotet B'Gechalimah, we know it's a general question, or whether perhaps it's Mirzikim of Ashur on Shabbos, which seems to be more Nogeach HaZorah, rather than actual Shehiyah. Fine. The explanation, according to that, of the Reisha, was that the Reisha was really talking about Chazorah, and we explained the Chazorah issue at the end, just to make it clear. We don't know yet how to understand the Mishnah, but the major difference will be whether you can be Masheh Miba'od Yom on a Kira She'ina Rufa V'Ketumah. That's what the problem boils down to, really. Do we hold like Chananya, or do we not hold like Chananya? Says the Gemara today, we're going to attempt to bring a Raya, Toshma. So we're now a quarter of the way down. Toshma. Diom Reb Chalvo Am Reb Chama Baguria Omar Rab. Lo Shonu Ela Al Gabab. Aval Etolcha Asur. Here Rab is quoted as saying that the Mishnah is only a reference. I mean, Lo Shonu Mashmanu is the heter of the Mishnah. The heter of the Mishnah is referring only to where you put something on top of the Kira. Aval Etolcha Asur. If you're going to put something down inside and you're actually going to have it on the fire instead of just above it where the heat's coming up, then you're not allowed to do it. Now, if you understand that the Mishnah all along was talking about, Lahagzir, and Lahagzir even in the duration, whereas Lishot is Mutter, as we said, according to Chananya, and therefore would be even in a Grufa. So now Rav would be discussing the heter of allowing things. He's saying Lo Shonu. Lo Shonu that we allow you to do the Shehiyah. So then I understand that, what are you going to say? Lo Shono al Gaba, Aval Tochasu. So now, if you're going to tell me that we're talking about Lahagzir, it makes sense. There's a difference between Tocha and Gaba, because, I mean, there's a real fire in there. Remember, the way that we're learning that it's Lahagzir, that means, but Lishod, there's no problem. Leave it. Even in a group of Inikatuna. Obviously, I've got a real fire inside the thing. I understand that there may be a difference between putting something on a real fire or on top. That makes a great deal of sense. But if you're going to tell me that the Reisha, when it says it's Mutter, the Reisha was talking about Mutter only if it's Rufa V'Ketuma on Shehiyah. Do you understand? So what's the difference? So Mali Tocha, Mali Al Gabam. There's no fire here anyway, so what's the difference? You got a hot stove. No. It's hot here, it's hot there, it's hot there, but there's no real significant difference there between putting it inside or putting it on the side. So over there, if you're going to need to do Grifa V'Ketima, and the way you're understanding the Mishnah would be Shaloki Chananya, and we have two separate sections, one talking about Shehiyah and one talking about Chazara, this doesn't make any sense. Why would there be an Afkamina between putting it in or putting it on top if it's all basically just hot in the same way? Okay, now, no, let's first finish it, okay, and then I'll come back and explain what the problem
is. Is it the same because it's Grufa?
Sorry?
Is it the same because it's Grufa?
Because you're telling me only if it's Grufa I can do it. So I can do it only if it's Grufa. So what's the difference? On top, inside, it's all the same thing.
There's no Shariat, there's no Tichot.
Can we please keep it calm and simple first? Then we'll go back and try to understand the logic of it. So that seems to prove clearly that the Mishnah's Eliyam but Lishot. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Reisha was talking about Shehiyah, Mali Tocha, Mali Al Gabah, so this seems to prove conclusively that the Mishnah was discussing only Chazor, and there was only one case, which is then explained at the end here, and then as far as what the implications are is that when it comes to Shehiyah, you don't need grief of the Ketima. That would be like Chanan, it seems to prove it. Says the Gemara, well, it only seems to prove it if we accept your assumption that what Reb Chalva was referring to was on the Reisha that said, Achi Yigrof, but if you do the Grifa, it's Mutter, right? So then you're right, if you did the Grifa, what's the point of Nafkamina between inside or outside? But why can't Reb Chalva be referring to the Seifa? The Seifa said Lahagzir. It's Mutar Lahagzir. So over there, if you're talking about Lahagzir on Shabbos, Then clearly there could be an afkamina, no? So Reb Chava Reishakaya Seifakai, Beisilov says afmachziri. Comes along, Reb Chava, Reb Chama Baguri, I'm a rab. Wait a minute here. You're talking about putting something back on the oven? No. Lashonu ala gaba, aval tocha asur. What are you going to do? You're going to put something inside on Shabbos? Even if it would be grufa for the ketumah, and there it already certainly it's mitzikim avasham. You're doing something against an uvdekol. We can see that there may be significant differences here between inside and outside, which don't come into play when it's an erev Shabbos. What those significant differences are not spelled out. Yeah. Now, remember that we had a shaila according to Rashi. The understanding of the perek was a continuation of dinim of hatmana, and putting something on a kira was similar to matmin. According to Tosfos, it has nothing to do with hatmana. Because, first of all, if it did, I mean, then none of this makes sense. Because even if you do grief of the ketima, it's still going to be most of that, which Rashi disagrees with, because it's in the process of cooling down. And furthermore, the definition of the word hatamon is that something is completely covered, not that something is near a warm thing. How is this thing completely covered? Rashi Lashitaso continues with his svara, and he says, I understand if it's tocho, then it's real hatamon. And then according to him, the difference between the case of where it's tocho and algavo is a question of you're being matmin now in a dover that's mosif heva, because you're being matmin mamish in remetz, let's say, if you were kotein. Okay, so there I understand it's a problem. So here, then, basically, according to Rashi, the Gemara would be introducing the distinctions that Tosfos made. If you tell me you can leave it on top of the kira, okay, that's one issue. To tell me you put it in, so then if it's still hot, so then I understand that that indeed may be similar to Shema Yachta, I'm doing it on the remetz itself. The Rabbeinu Chananu points out, because over here it's only because of Shema Yacht on actual remits, not because of Mosif Heva. Furthermore, it doesn't say it has to be completely mechusah, it just says it goes down on top of it. It's the only shiloh with Shema Yacht. Now, the Rabbeinu Chananu points out that all of this is an exercise in futility, according to Rashi. Because he can't deny the fact that at the end, what did we come out saying? At the end we come out saying that when it comes to Chazora, so then we're perfectly happy to make the Nafkamina. Why? It's Gruva Viketuma. Tell me what the Nafkamina is, for God's sake. So in other words, there's clearly some other issue. Rashi's making this big thing. If I put it in, if you're telling me there's remnants there, then I can understand it. If there's no remnants there, what's Nafkamina? So he's dealing with dinim about, no, and if you're talking about Chazara, tell me, so what's the Nafkamina? There the Gemara is perfectly happy. No, I thought he was talking about Shehiya. What's he talking about? He was talking about Chazara. Good, so now tell me. Elamai, we're dealing with, anyway, points out Tosfos, we're dealing with, anyway, a very complex mixture of various elements that need to be balanced, correct? But even if you'll tell me, we have a concept of Shema Yachta. I mean, is there no difference in a Shema Yachta where you're going to be doing something, a pula on Shabbos or before Shabbos? And if you tell me, Mirzikim Avasha, isn't that a Nafkamina? And now we have to mix this with our bouquet of the question of how well cooked is it, and is it going to be, are you going to be worried about having it overcooked, and having your water boiling out? I mean, there's a million issues over here. Don't come at me and try to make this all a black and white question of whether it is Atmana or not Atmana. You yourself are going to have to say, well, when it came to Chazorah, then even though there was no question of Shema Yachta B'Gecholim, because there weren't any, because we're talking about a grufa, nonetheless, you were happy, Rashi. What did you say about that? I noticed that you very conspicuously leave your peers blank on that. And he does. He doesn't say anything. So in other words, you're ready to accept that we're dealing here with a balance of factors, and the Gemara says it's a reasonable balance, that if you're talking about on Shabbos, to be mechalik between doing something that's a pula putting inside. So how do you know that that wasn't the question over here, too? Don't try to make it so completely well-defined. It's not such a well-defined issue. Fine. So meanwhile, we come out that we don't have a raya from Reb Chava Omer Rav, because Lamaisa, it may well be that he's referring to Chazorah, talking about the Sefer, in which case there's no implications of what he held the Reisha was talking about. Maybe the Reisha was talking about Chazorah, and then Shehiyah would be okay, but that he wasn't dealing with. And maybe the Reisha was talking about Shehiyah, I don't know. We certainly can't prove it from here. So we need another Raya. Tashma, okay, let's take another Raya. How about where you have a more modern stovetop, in which you now have four Kiderot on top of your stove? And this took only about 20 years from the time that the Medinat was Mukemet, and everything was first a Kupa, and then a Kira, and finally a four. Now everybody came out as four burners. Things are really coming up in the world. So over here, back in old Babel, we have the same problem. Now how do we make a four-piece Kira? We basically take two Kirot, put them one next to each other, and we have a wall between them, and now we have a four-place stovetop. But now...
One that's on the Sada.
Huh? Masada was a very high class kitchen. Let me tell you something. There you go. But this is not a good illustration of our problem, because over here they're really disconnected. Yeah, they're separate learners. Each one is basically a kupa plasma. But here we're talking about a real kira plus a wall between it and now another kira. Not like this picture. Fanina's kira.
Right. So it looked like this from the top.
Uh-huh.
Right. It was one top and literally had two burners, and then it replaced the curtain of the thing. So you make something with four.
But that's not what we're talking about.
Two kiras next to each other.
We need to have a wall in between them.
Not between all four.
No, between the two and the two.
These two have no wall between them. Right.
Obviously, they're from home in Narada. What do you expect? They caught on quickly too, or maybe even better in Mechuzah, where you know they live fancy home. Torot HaBashan. Anyway, so continues the Gemara. So let's hear the case. So we have the two kirot that are matimot. Achat grufa uktuma, v'achat she'ina grufa ve'ina ktuma. So now one of them has been put out, and one of them is still has its fuel inside. The din is mashina gabea grufa uptuma, the in mashina she'ina grufa ve'ina ktuma. Okay, so first of all, it says over here, now you can use the chart that I gave you, because what we're about to do is introduce two different approaches to the machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and it does not fit our construction of the Mishnah. So in other words, as we often find, Rabbi Meir has a totally different approach to what the machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was. And Rabbi Yehuda comes close or identical to our Mishnah, depending on how we're going to learn. So here the shaila is like this. You might have thought, of course, that because you have a lot of heat coming from the next door kira, which was Eina Grufa, maybe over there, you do have to be Machlok. Mashlom, we treat these two kirot as separate entities, despite the fact that they're all next to each other and so on. We figure that a person can make that distinction in his mind, and the additional heat doesn't interest. Okay. So now, ignore the fact that it's Shtei Kirot HaMatimot. In other words, we're not going to look at that as a significant issue. On the contrary, the whole point was to tell us it's not significant. So now, getting on to what you can do with a kira. It says you can be mashin. Umahin mashin. What is it that you can leave on the fire before Shabbos? Beit Shammai says nothing. The local woman, you can't leave anything on the fire. And Beit Hillel says, well, you can leave the hot water kettle, but you can't leave a cholent. So, chamin avalo tafshil. But if you're akar, what, you took it off of the fire? Ha! Divrei HaKol lo yafzir, divrei Rabbi Meir. Then there's bechlal. Nothing to discuss. Now, this is totally not like our mission. I mean, over here it doesn't allow chazorah at all. That's everybody. So our mission, according to Rabbi Meir, is completely obdifferent. It's a whole different approach. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer? Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Beit Shammai says back on the mashin. So you could be mashin chamin, avalo tafshio. This is already getting closer to our mission. So you're allowing shihiya, but of course, what type of shihiya? A shihiya only on the kira that is gorufa katum. You're not allowed to leave anything on the ena grufa ve'ena katuma, right? That makes it very clear. So in other words, Beit Shammai is saying what he says in the Mishnah, if we understand that the Mishnah is talking about a shihiya and a grufa ve'ketuma. Grufa ve'ketuma, says the Mishnah, notnim alea tafshio. What kind of tafshio? Says Beit Shammai, chamin. Not real tafshio. Beit Hillel omrim, chamin ve'tafshio. Now, when it comes to the last part about Chazara, Beit Shammai omrim, notlin avalo mazirin. You can take it off, but you can't put it back on. Beit Hillel omrim, av mazirin. Now, the way we had our Mishnah set up, with two possibilities. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah indeed is the first way we understood it, that there's two separate parts to the Mishnah. The opening part was talking about Shihiya, not like Hananya, was Matir only where it was Grufa Uktuma, doesn't have any fuel left in it. So then, at least, things make sense, because if you tell me the Shotanam, the Mishnah works out according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's exactly what we said in the Mishnah. Opening is, you can be Masha, but only on the Grufa Ketuma. The opening of the Braita, to make it very graphic, talks about two kiras side by side, one which is Grufa Ketuma, one which isn't, and says, look, man, you can only use the left side, you can't use the right side. Okay, so now I see, it's the Loki Chadenya. What can you be Masha? Exactly the same issue that our Mishnah says about Loki Chadenya Ketuma. Can you be Mazir? Exactly the Machlokes that our Mishnah says. Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So then everything works out. Understand that our Mishnah's reflection of how Rabbi Yehuda understands the Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, and everything is perfect. And the Yom HaLahav says, if you start trying to tell me that when it comes to Shia, everybody is Modi, you can be Masha, even with the Eina Grufa, the Eina Ketuma, and the whole Mishnah year was talking about Chazorah, even in the opening, and then it breaks down totally. The Mishnah doesn't work out according to anybody. I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, it's totally off the wall. I mean, according to Rabbi Meir holds that according to Beit Shammai, there's no chazara even. I mean, there's nothing to discuss. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. I mean, but it's not Rabbi Yehuda either. Not Nitin Mani. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Meir. I mean, if it's Rabbi Meir, so then, okay, first of all, Kashal Beit Shammai Bechoda. I mean, Beit Shammai in our Mishnah says you can do Shehiyah, which is talking about Mashin. So the shail is, what in the world is Beit Shammai going to say? According to Rabbi Meir, he doesn't hold his mutter to do anything. Well, cool. That's not what our Mishnah says. Well, the Beit Hill of the Tarte, according to that, Beit Hill doesn't make sense in two issues. It says in two issues. It actually means more than two, but we're throwing together as our Mishnah is being Matu Shehiyah and even like Hanani B'Sheinu Goruf, right? And over here, it's saying only Goruf and furthermore only Chami. So, but we're going to throw that as one, you know. We're going to start now being mefaret exactly which problem. In other words, the issues. Ulu Beit Hillel, Betarte. So in Beit Hillel, we've got a problem in what it is, and according to this, you're not mash on an enogaruf, and we all that you were allowed to do on an enogaruf. That doesn't work out at all. E Rabbi Yehuda, it's a kasha grufa v'ketuma, and if you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's still problematic because the Mishnah says you require grufa v'ketima, and here, Rabbi Yehuda says you require grufa v'ketima, and our Mishnah says it's mutter according to everybody completely, without grufa v'ketima, the way that Hananya says. How can you try to fit Hananya into the Mishnah? It just doesn't, I don't get it. That doesn't add up. The Mishnah's got to be talking about Shehiyah. You're right. You're right. But look, the Mishnah may not reflect Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. I could tell you, maybe indeed the Mishnah is talking about Chazara. And when it comes to Shehiyah, halakha is like Hananya. You don't need grief for the Ketima. So who does the Tana hold like? Look, the Tana holds in many ways like Rabbi Yehuda, right? So he's sort of like Rabbi Yehuda Bechod. I mean, he's ready to go according to Rabbi Yehuda partially. And in one element he argues on, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the sense that when it comes to the question of Chamin versus Tapsha, or Notlin or Machzirin, it's exactly the way our Tana says it. That the Hillel is Matir, the Chamin and the Tapsha, but Shammai is Matir, only the Chamin, and that there's a Heter for Chazorah according to Beit Hillel, no Heter for Chazorah according to Beit Shammai. That's all good. There's only one issue, but he argues it. And he says, our Tana holds that according to them, apparently the Shehiyah would be mutter even with in a group of a ketuna. The Tana did not severely show himself in Shehiyah, go to the Kotum. And Rabbi Yehuda insists that even Shehiyah requires grief of a ketima. So, it's not that terrible. So, Rabbi Yehuda severely showed Nami go to the Kotum. So we may have yet a third sheet over here. Rabbi Meir's approach, Rabbi Yehuda's approach, is almost precisely like our Mishnah. Well, actually is our Mishnah, if our Mishnah's talking about Shehiyah. And look, it could be that there's a third sheet that it takes even a step further. That when it comes to Shehiyah, you don't even need grief of the Ketima. So, possibly. Iboilo. Question, so we don't have a clear-cut understanding. But let me ask you something. However it is we're going to come out, I mean, I don't know how we come out yet, but let's assume, you want to take a look at your charts and review it for a moment? Take a look at what we've seen? Let's just look at the top. Hananya was the way that we want to learn that the Mishnah is talking only about Chazara and not referring to Shehiyah at all, right? So that's the only possibility for that first row, because everybody else holds that you need grief of the Ketima. So the only possibility of reading the Mishnah, you don't need grief of the Ketima, and the Mishnah was referring only to Chazara. But when it comes to Shehiyah, there are no limits whatsoever. That's Hananya. What it was that you could put on, okay, that's the machlokas, whether you're allowed to put on Tafsho or you're only allowed to put on Chami. That's the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. When it comes to Shehiyah by a Grufa, doesn't say, so we don't really know. Maybe be even better, right? Maybe Beit Shammai would be motivated that if it's Grufa, you could even be Masha a Tafsho. We don't know. Therefore, the chart says, I mean, it may be even better. But there's insufficient data to really fill that box. We know it certainly can't be more Chomer than the box to the right. Is that clear? Okay. Then when it comes to Lahavzir, again, everybody is moda in a grufa, forget about it. That's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is talking about Lahavzir. When it's talking about a grufa, that's where you have the Machlokes. Picture my Betulel. Is it mutter? Is it us? Very straightforward. The next sheet that we had was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's sheet is that, first of all, Chazorah is out of the running. Nobody is matir Chazorah at all. Completely not like our Mishnah. I don't care how you learn our Mishnah. There's no way to put Rabbi Meir in. He's out of the running for the Mishnah, because the Mishnah definitely says the top box on the left, according to Hananya. I mean, there's no way to make it work out only with Rabbi Meir. Now, the Shaila, according to Rabbi Meir, is another one. Even when it comes to Shehiyah, he holds that Beit Shammai doesn't allow any type of Shehiyah. Again, not like our Mishnah. Because certainly, no matter how you learn our Mishnah, it's got to, there's got to be some heter of Shia when it's gruesome. Rabbi Yehuda.
You say there's supposed to be cold food on Shabbos?
Cold food? Why should you have cold food?
You can't be masha, you can't be masha. What are you going to get?
According to Rabbi Meir, in Beit Shammai, you'd have to do Hatzmona. In a Dovah Shein Amos Yifemo.
So how Shabbos are you going to have warm food?
Why not? You have the furnace.
Huh?
You have the furnace.
Thermos will keep it warm enough.
Thermos will keep it warm enough. That's what we learned about. Perhaps. Why not? Okay. According to Rabbi Yehuda, which is on the bottom, Rabbi Yehuda actually reflects the alternative explanation of the Mishnah that we didn't take. I mean, for sure, it was a possibility, it was still entertaining. According to which the Mishnah was talking about Shehiyah, therefore was disallowing any type of Shehiyah on non-Grufa the Ketumah, which is why that first box is black. Forget about that, because the Mishnah wasn't matred according to anybody. And the Mishnah was matred Shehiyah, both according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but there was a machlokas, what, if it's Grufa the Ketumah? Can you be masha water only, or can you be masha a cholent? When it comes to chazara, again, have exactly the same construct that we have on top. Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So the top box and the bottom, the top row and the bottom row are the two possibilities that we entertained basically in our Mishnah.
Cholent by Beit Shammai would be asur.
Would be asur. That's right. It would have to be hatzmona mivaod yom and a davar shena mos yifevo. According to the sheet. It's not cold.
It's lukewarm.
It's not lukewarm.
Yeah.
Besides which, there's obvious solutions. You can cook it with a microwave.
Oh, and I thought you were going to get back to the solar issue of cooking your steak on the
solar.
You could
do that too. You could cook on a solar oven. That's much.
In the winter, you'd have a problem.
What's that?
In the winter, you'd have a problem.
Oh, no, somebody's a solar collector.
Yeah, a good solar oven.
You could cook.
Vermont, you're cooking with a solar oven. I mean, that's radiation. All kinds of wonderful ideas. Listen, what do you think pushed the technology of microwaves and solar? It's not Rabbi Meir Sheet Ali of Beit Shammai.
It's not my
problem of electricity. The Shammai can't do that.
What's that? It was only the Machmirim that pushed technology.
So you can figure that. That's right.
Really?
Yes. And
Parkot
Pekes are 8
stories down. Parkot, by the way, are a place in Banei Yizmeir.
It takes best to continue after that.
I can't figure out why you keep at it.
So they were wondering how they cooked, because the Romans would find them. So they found themselves, I don't remember what they were called, the Ben, the very loving of the Spanish. They found these stones in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. They heated them. Mm-hmm. They did a test. They heated them up on Friday, and they came back from Monte Shabbos. They were still hot.
Heated them in the sun?
Heated them with a fire. Mm-hmm. Heated them with a fire, and then left them for more than 24 hours. They were still very, very hot. Mm-hmm. It contained heat. I said, I don't remember which. I don't know if they told you what stone it was. But
it's like the ogre palm that we use.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you boil olives, and then you make the oil, and smokeless fire. Those two things have to work underground with the stones. You think that's it.
And the Romans didn't figure out how to use their infrared vision of the Gemara had. On
the
one.
The system saved a lot of chashmal in the problem.
What? It used to, supposedly.
I bet you the system
now. And most people here don't remember that old system. The good old days when we never had chashmal on Friday anyway, because the wonderful Arabs would turn it off in Jordan. You remember those days? We were connected to the Jordanian electrical system. Every Arab Shabbos, somehow or other, the electricity would go off.
In the
early 80s. Okay.
Having a concert.
Fine. All right. So now we have a question. Mahu lismokba. Whatever the case is, I'm not sure now, as Tosafot explained, I'm not sure now what we're talking about. If the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, so then I'm asking about Lagabe Chazorah. If the Mishnah is talking about Lahachzir, so I'm asking about Chazorah alone. Fine. Or maybe I'm asking, says Tosafot, about a case of Shehiyah where it wasn't cooked. Wasn't cooked like a Machal Ben Dusari, because after all, the only heter that Hananya gave was when it was fundamentally cooked. So whatever the case is that the Mishnah left us with an Isser, what would be the halacha about putting it next to the oven? That's the shayla. So is it dafka, tocha, the gaba? Is it only inside or maybe on top of the kira that it's Isser? Avali smoke ba shapir dami. But to put it inside, and next to it, I mean, would be okay. On the outside. Odiomaloshnar, maybe it makes no difference. Aha! Now we should look back to our case of the four pot kira. ואצל שתי קירות המתאימות, אחת גרופה וכתומה ואחת שאינה גרופה וכתומה. It says בפירוש, משין על גבי גרופה וכתומה. Now wait a second over here. If I'm putting it on the one that doesn't have the fuel in it, it's still getting all the heat from the one next door. So apparently we don't care about the fact that it's next to a source of heat. So there you see that Afagav, Tikasolikli Havlamiida, even though the heat's coming from the other burner, which I'm not using, apparently that doesn't concern us. So as long as it's not actually on top of that burner, we have no problem. Says the Gemara, well, not necessarily. Because by definition, if you're putting it on top of the Kira, then it's exposed to the air. But how about if you put it up against the side and you don't have air around it on all sides? Maybe that would be also. So Dilma Shani Hatam Kivan Dimidalia Shalik Vavira. Maybe since it's on top of the stovetop and it's got air coming across it, then you don't have a problem. But if it would be, in fact, right next to it, it would get very hot, maybe that would be the equivalent of putting it actually on the stovetop. Now, I mentioned to you that a lot of contemporary issues are addressed in our sugya. One very, very famous contemporary issue is based on Rashi. Rashi of this says al-gava has two meanings. Al-gava could mean on the actual sides of the kira, which, of course, this horrific picture that you have over here doesn't give you any sides. It's more of a schematic. Don't try giving this to your tamtad. I mean, this is ridiculous. But Rashi has another case. He says, let's say you put a piece of metal over the top and you put something over the kira top.
What?
That's the problem. So it seems over here that Al-Gaba includes even a bleh. That's a classic bleh. And we're assuming that that's awesome. That's the equivalent of Al-Gaba. And it was Bishlam if you would tell me that the way you use a kira is the fire is exposed and the pot is up against the fire, like on ours, and if you want to be goreth it, then you could also just put something on top of it, and that's the same thing. Then I say, okay, then that's what we do when we put down a blech, a metal blech or a asbestos blech. But the way Rashi's learning, the Al-Gaba includes even a blech, and it says Al-Gaba is awesome. From which the Chazon Ish concludes that indeed a blech is awesome. And that there's no heter of viewing a fire which is covered by some type of blech as being the equivalent of Grufa Vikakuna. Seems like a very powerful deal.
Can you go with that again, please?
Why do I have to go over it when you said it? You said it.
I'm just making sure I understand.
No.
That doesn't mean
that you won't understand what I say, Mela, but you won't understand what you say, that's for sure impossible. Even I can't understand what you say. So since over here it says that if, according to Rashi, Al-Gaba is certainly awesome. That, and Rashi says Al-Gaba means even if you cover the fire of the Kira with a piece, and the only time, indeed, we do see later that there is a heter, but that's only if you take a pot, put it on the kira, and then you put another pot on top of that pot, which we do today as well. Something that you normally wouldn't be allowed to do on Shabbos. You can do it if it's on top of another pot that's been put upside down. But you can't do it just by putting down a piece of silver foil. So over here, the same thing. What you're doing is telling me, okay, I'll put a piece of silver foil over a burning fire, or a piece of asbestos, and then I'm allowed to do what I want. Nonsense. Rashi says that's exactly the case of Al-Gaba, which is usher. Because the Chazon Ish, there it is, black and white. I mean, how can you just put something on top of a fire? No, even, I mean, depending if you learn, like, but in a case where it isn't cooked well, but depending what the case is, there's a lot of factors. We'll see later today, we rely on the Talmudna. But on the Shailiz, Mitztamik V'yafalo, Mitztamik V'ralo, I mean, these are all issues that still need hazard.
Are we
going to
say Rashi
that means blech? So some understand, and I shouldn't say some, almost everybody argues on the Chazon Ish. From top to bottom, single modern person argue on the Chazon Ish, including Rishlim, Zalman Auerbach, including Ramesha and so on, and say that the meaning of Rashi is where this was the covering of the Kira, such as we have a grating over our gas. So that is not a blech. That's Al-Gaba. Yeah, like our grates, basically. So there, in Al-Ginami. But if you put on something that you normally don't have, the issue is an opener quote. Then even if it's open, it's the equivalent of Griba the Katima, because Katima doesn't mean you've got to take away the fire completely. It means you've got to cover it. If it's a question of Mirzikim of Ashel, this is not what you would normally use for Bishel. Therefore, it's not Mirzikim of Ashel. As usual, you said the opposite of what I said in order to explain what I said. I said, if it's a question of Mirzikim of Ashel, then it's not Mirzikim of Ashel. If it's a Shaila of Sheva Yovel Lachtot V'Gichalim, then it's what you said. You did an act that showed you're Mesalik yourself from the activity. Right? Which, by the way, many are makbid because of this, that if you put on one of these, which they sell, these things that have little holes in them, and they, you know, you put it on top, right, that then if you adjust the fire, you can't use it. Because then clearly you weren't solid yourself. But then it's still, so then do we have a chashash that you can adjust the fire?
What is this that goes on the top?
What's a blech?
No,
what is it with the holes? Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, that's very normal that people actually cook with that thing. They try to use it. It's a blech type thing, but it's not used by Jews for Shabbos. You can buy it in any household thing. It just spreads the flames out more smoothly. That's what they're really made for.
I think
according to by the way, well, I just want to point out one fascinating alternative approach. A fascinating alternative approach is that there's bichlal no problem of cooking on an open fire like ours of Shehiya, and it doesn't even need grease. Why is that? Because, as some of the modern folks can bring, including remotion to things, because you see there's no gezeira in all of these cases that maybe you'll go out and bring wood and be mostly put on the fire. It's only a question of what's there. So those type of flames in which what's there needs to be worked on and so on, there you have the gezeira. I come in contact with the flame. Well, you're talking about turning up a flame. Where that's the equivalent of bringing the wood. We're not kosher for that. We don't have to be in the top, but we're not kosher. You're going to go out and actually turn on a fire on Shabbos. You're going to bring new gas. That's the equivalent of bringing new wood. Maybe the chalitz mutter. Who says that there's any problem at all? And certainly if it's up as high as it goes, you can send his gzeira, you'll make it lower, but you're going to make your own new gzeira. Then why would we have such a chashash? It could be the chalitz, the whole thing doesn't even apply. It's the opposite direction. See, the practice is that if it's an open fire, I'm just not even considered to be grief of the ketima to cover it. I mean, I didn't do anything that affects the flame. So it runs the gamut.
See, with electrical oil,
the same as I mean, that's a general question, whether you want to treat electricity as a fire. Well, we know that other sources of heat are not included in the dynamic vision. Right? In other words, we know that if we use nuclear energy, we cook by the sun. There's no issue in using nuclear energy directly. That kind of heat. We have a gezeira. If you use hot water that was cooked in a nuclear reactor, that's called toldei. That just makes various type of things and so on. Okay, all those type of things are at the most gezeiras. The issue that you have with toldei chama, that's difficult to know. You like what we have nowadays. We have a hot water heating system, which the water is heated by the sun. So the rabbanim were gozer, because how can, when you see the hot water, you don't know whether it was cooked by the sun or was cooked on a fire. So it was gozer, but mi'ikra din. I mean, it's not simply the question of eating something that's going to give it an inhibition, right? So these were all the questions that originally came up by electricity. And the electricity bichlal is one of those things in which there was a haskama that it would mean the end of Shabbos if we started treating it as something else. Because, I mean, then, you know, forget it. I mean, we don't use Aish anymore, so we'll forget all about that too. And, you know, it's just not a guy to deal with. Well, maybe when you come to the Prote Dinim and so on and so forth, and the, you know, questions of where something is a groma and it's made a miskabin and blah, then already you get into the shilas. Whether we should treat it seriously or, you know, recognize that it's an extension of the Dinim of Aish. But we certainly can't go around blanketing a heter of, I think that subconsciously that was just taken for granted by all the posts, which is a beautiful thing. It's like that. A certain responsiveness in Lo Nevi'im Ein B'nei Nevi'im Ein, you know, which is the way Klal Yisrael views it, you know, I get it. Fine, do we have another Raya? So far we don't know. Can you put something up against the side? We don't know. Maybe it's only on top that we're not precious for the extra heat, right? Tashma, Yom Rav Safra Amar Chiya. Katzma, if you put the ashes, spread the ashes over the coals, and now, Nidlapta, it started burning again. That happens. Somchimla, you can put something up against the side. You can leave something that was there on top. No talimi mena. Take it off. Mazirinla, put it back on. But anyway, it says over here, you can be somech, but only if you had originally been katzma, right? So shmame al lismol kanami, it's dafka if you were katzma. But lo katzma, if you didn't do something that showed that you were putting out the fire, then not. Ah, come on, man. I mean, if you're going to say that, you can say the same thing about no talimi mena. One of the cases says over here, you can take it off. So you're going to tell me, you can take it off only if you were kotein. You can't take it off. Whoever said that? When something was on a fire, I can't take it off? Why can't I take it off? So certainly it doesn't mean that I can take it off only if I was kotein. The reason it says you can take it off is because basically, tana no tulin mishum magzirin. You want to talk about, if you can take it off, you can put it back on. Okay, so fine. It doesn't mean I can only take it off in this case. So maybe somchim is the same thing. You could put it up against it, which of course you could have done even if it wasn't kotein. And you can even put it on top because you were kotein. Maybe that's all that it means. So hakanami tana somchim mishum mekaimim. Oh, now wait a minute. If you want to talk about putting something back on, you have to tell me you took it off, don't you? You could say, and you could take it off and put it back on. And nobody say, and you can put it back on. When you put it back on, it is on. So as you're saying, no legal matter. That's all the same thing. I mean, what are you going to tell me? You could be Sokhim, you put it on top, but there's no connection between the two. Why mention Sokhim? If you could have done Sokhim even if you hadn't been Gottman? I don't think that that's a valid comparison at all. I mean, in order to put it back on in the place where it was, you have to first be no tail. So therefore, Tana Notlim, Mishum Magzirim, Elahacha, Somchim Bechad Makom, Mekamin Bechad Makom. It's two completely separate issues. We must put on the side. Or to put it up on top. Why would it say it? Now, although we can't prove it, in other words, don't think that this is now definitive. Because what it means is, I find it difficult to accept that distinction. But, I mean, I can't prove 100% that we don't throw it in since we already threw in Notar Mazir, maybe we throw it in. Okay, do we have 100% proof? My Aviyah. Do we have 100% proof about the issue as to whether you could be Masmech? Toshma. Kira shizikua begefet uve etzim, somchinwa, ve'ein mikaimim ele inken grufa uktuma. By the way, I forgot to mention something. I started talking about the contemporary issues, and I left one very important one out. Tocha.
In the oven.
In the oven. What about them? In other words, what about if there's a question of here, Shia, or Chazara, for that matter, on a groof of the Ketuma, when the Eish covered in our oven? Do you put it back in the oven?
It's still on, but it's...
Assuming you've dealt with thermostat issues, if there are any, or whatever, you have it on the Tumah Shabbat.
Most of the Nagurim have a Platap Shabbat
in the oven. A Platap Shabbat.
The Shabbos mode.
Yes, the Shabbos mode. That's not quite a Platap Shabbat. What it means is that it doesn't work on the thermostat.
It just stays on at a,
it stays on at a very low level. Yes, but it's Tocha. You're right, but it's still tocha. So that's the question. Is it mutter to put things back inside of an oven and the same way you can put something on top? And we were machalic over here by the kira between on top. Hatmona, it's not, because it doesn't touch. It's not called insulating. Putting something in an insulated room or in a hot box, inverted refrigerator, is not hatmona. It has to be on it. So that's the shiloh, whether this is the equivalent of tocha. There are many who aser putting something inside of the oven because of this question of the tocha of the kira. Putting back in. If the oven is working, can you put it in? No tli, we don't have a problem with no tli.
Before Shabbat, you can put it in. Take it out and open it back.
Take it out. Again, assuming it's no problem being mavir it when you open up the door. Right. Okay, it's different. We'll get into the nafkaminas, because over here, of course, we have to analyze the question of the comparison of hira, toch hira, to toch our oven. Is it similar to tanur? Is it similar to hira? But we haven't really dealt with any of that yet. We're still talking about hira. So I just want to point out that this gemara is actually seriously used in that question. And the truth is, it's a mafoket aposkin, how to deal with our tanurim. Many people are mocked not to put it back in, and they have plenty of shochitas to be on. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Just to why you brought up the question of the thermostat inside the...
I didn't bring it up. I said, assuming we've done with it. So we've done it.
So you want me to leave it alone?
Yeah. So now, Tashma, let's see if we can bring a riot to our smicha. Kira shizikua begefet uve'itzim, some chima, ve'in mekadim ela imken grufa uftuma. So now we have here a repetition of the dinim of kira, of kiyum, only on grufa v'kituma. And the gechalim imamu, if the gechalim themselves went out, or you spread natanale anorech or pishtan daka, that's the equivalent of tumah. It doesn't mean that you have to put it on, they go out themselves. So what is the implication over here? Somchin la, but in mikamim. So in other words, we're matir being somech, even though there was no pu'ula of ketimah, correct? That's what it says. Somchin la, but ein mikamim ela. So apparently those who aser, and that doesn't concern us, that it says aser to be Mekayim, we know there's a big machlokas, Hanani, Rabbanan, Hanani, the different person. That's not our business. The question that we wanted to know is, where you hold its aser, is it mutter to be somek? That's the only question. So here we have an example of someone who holds that a particular thing is aser. Nonetheless, it says somkima, even though there is no ketima. So apparently, smicha is mutter. Tosfos says, okay, we have established that smicha is mutter. But don't bring a riot from here that means smicha to an open fire, let's say, is mutter. Because that certainly you can't derive. I mean, we may be more machmir when you're putting something close to an open fire for various gezeiras, and you can't derive it from here. That we'll have to see later on. But here we have the the kira, the walls of the kira are mafsik between whatever's fire is inside the kira, and here it says that that's mutter. Suppose you did your ketima and the thing burst back into flames again. So you would be allowed now to do shihiyah on it as long as it's completely cooked and as long as the water was totally boiled.
Keep these things that are on fire.
Yeah. What do you keep it on? Or leave it on?
Put it on.
Mashino has to put it on even before Shabbos.
Put it on.
Yeah. Because you were coating. You were coating.
It's covered fire. You put it in front of stuff. Now the fire bursts into flames.
Even if you didn't put on the stuff.
Sorry?
Even if you didn't put on the stuff. You did your act of kima. Kima means to put things on top of it. Put ashes on it.
No,
every kima can look at it. Fire departments spend days and days dealing with things. They're already cooked. They have a tendency to burst back and forth. So Shemamina, but the Torah you see from over here, that mitstamek v'yafelo mutar. You'll notice that all he said was that it was tamsho shebishel kol tzorcho. Okay, it was cooked already, but it still can take advantage of additional cooking. There's a chance. It's cooked, it's not raw, it's completely cooked. The longer it stays up there, the more chalenty it gets. So that's called mitstamek v'yafelo. Because if it's mitstamek v'ralo, I mean, what would be the question? And l'chor, there's no chiddush. This is how Rashi is. Tosfos doesn't like that at all. Well, I mean, what's the chiddush? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, they answered it where it's ener grufa, even if it was mitzvah v'ralo, maybe it's not ener grufa, because it was mitlata. I mean, difficult to say that. But Rashi takes it as a pashtus that there'd be no point in even making this halakha, but wouldn't be to tell me that there's a chashash, you want your chalent to be more cooked. Mitzvah means essentially keep shrinking and becoming more and more concentrated, and that's good for it. So then says the Gemara, well, no, wait a minute, over here you were kotein. Hold on a second. You're trying to bring a raya that mitstamek v'yofalo is mutter. I mean, maybe the only reason it's mutter is because you did the ketina. So fine, so it burst out into flame, but you did do a ketina. Well, I understand. Are you telling me now that you hold that ketina is irrelevant if it was muvara? So then, Milo Meimah, what's the finish? Everybody agreed, even if the mission was Shaloka Hananya, that if you did Ketima, that it was okay to put on the Tafshir. Well, Bezillah, we're not going to deal with Beit Shammai here. Well, what do you mean? Who writes Strichalei? The Kiddush is that even though it burst into flame again, and you might think that canceled out the Ketima, from Hashmalana, we still view this as a Ketima. Ma the Tema, Kiddush Uvara. Hagala la milta kamaita. You might have thought it goes all the way back where it was before. We can effectively ignore the Ketima. Kamashmalana, that's the Kiddush. Furthermore, Amar Rabba Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yochanan, it sounds exactly the same.
Because you've got a fire again. You know, sprinkle, and I did my mitzvah, but it didn't affect the fire.
Yes, but it certainly affected your das, and it certainly affected whether this is a norm and how it's mixing in the actual. Doing your thing is very important here, because that's our problem. Basically, these are all gezeiros, they're not Yisurim. So when you do your thing, like in many gezeiros, you put up a little layer, put up a little kaira, put up a little action, and that's enough.
So the effect is not necessarily putting out the fire, it's showing that you don't want the fire.
Right. Which is what we do with the blood.
Right?
Exactly what we do with the blood. You got a great fire there. And nonetheless, you did your little thing.
If the fire burned through the blech, you wouldn't say, oh, I put the blech
through. Absolutely. Yeah. Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chai. As a matter of fact, the blech is okay even if the lechatchila has holes for the fire.
Put a screen on, screen
the blech? Yeah, and so you're not cooking normally. You show that you don't want the fire gets off.
And you do that purposefully? You put a blech on, it's going to burn out.
I don't care, even if you've got the Yechalim in there made out of rotem wood and that thing, it keeps its heat, it keeps oxidizing for days. You never get that cool. So, Shmamin again, Mitztamik V'yafalo Mutar. So apparently it's okay. You're telling me that there's no problem of Shihiyah, even though I am very concerned to have my chalent well shrunken and concentrated. That's not a problem. Now note that we seem to have made a distinction between Mevushal Kol Tzorcho and Mitztamik V'yafalo. Because one could say, and indeed there are some who come to this conclusion, including the Tosfos, that according to Hananya, the very fact that I'm allowed to have something which is only kemachal ben drusai, right? So it's only one third cooked. I mean, that's the ultimate mitzvah v'yafalo. I mean, for God's sake, I mean, who wants to eat it like that? I'm no mobster. I like my food properly cooked. And therefore, according to Hananya, this would not be an issue. However, the Baal HaMor makes a very clear distinction between them. There's two issues. Is it cooked or is it not cooked? Which includes the sub-questions of how well cooked. But then there's another issue. Assuming that it would then have been finished cooking, is it advantageous to continue cooking? Not if it's time to be a fellow. So it's something that is already cooked, and you wouldn't want it to overcook. It may certainly be less chomer than something that may already be completely cooked, but you do want it to overcook, which can go on forever. So even though one might have concluded that according to Hananya, everything mitzvahmik v'yafel is the normal case of a ma'akel b'ndersoy, according to the Baal HaMor, that's not the case at all. There's two separate issues, and we have to break up that. We had one parameter of the extent of the cooking. We have to break that up into two parameters, the extent of the cooking and the likelihood that you would want it to overcook. The separate parameter. Yofalo or any yofalo? Oh boy, this is bad news. This professor's post is working out and we are too late. This has never happened in the history of the Daf. Happened once. So now this seems to be telling me that Mitztamik the Yofalo is mutter. Well, no. Tanya Yofalo, the Kutma. I mean, he also said the case was Kutma Vuhuvara. So then again, I mean, if it was Kutma, there's no Kiddush. We agreed that if you were kosher, even the most covered interpretation of the Mishnah allows you to be Mshoah on Kutma. No, Umarite Srifale. You needed to tell me that even though it burst into flames again, it's still okay. But you just said that before. I mean, so then I know how. Why does Rabbi Yochanan have to tell me something that we already learned basically from Rabbi Abba Manachmeni? I mean, we're assuming, the Ritva explains, we're assuming that he heard him, even though it's a Shemaitzah. That this type of thing that gets around way away. I mean, you know, Rabbi Yashik gives some cycles all over the internet. I mean, he must have picked it up. So why did he bother mentioning it? Ah, because he added a Kiddush. Dechalim Sharotam, it's Ritva. Let me tell you, even though you're using Dechalim Sharotam, you might have thought that Dechalim Sharotam, that is, for all intents and purposes, a foregone conclusion, like Dr. Feinstein's question. Let's put up the kind of black that's going to make. That's exactly what happens over here. A guy puts a little bit of ashes over Gekolim Sharotam. Of course, it'll be over here. So Kamashman, even Gekolim Sharotam, it's also okay. So he's taking one step further. But in Afinami, he's not coming to tell me that Kiddush, it's not, that you don't need Ketima. Omer of Sheshis, Omer of Yochanan. Kira Shisikua Begepto Beitzin. Mashina Le'achamich Lo'ukmu Kol Tzorchan. The Tavshil Shalob Bishel Kol Tzorchan. Oh boy, oh boy. Now this Rabbi Yochanan, and obviously, I mean, this is taking it further than the previous Rabbi Yochanan. As Rashi says, we're going to have to say that it's different Talmidim. Rabbi Barbar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan one way, Rabbi Sheshit quotes Rabbi Yochanan in another way. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can even leave as something that requires additional cooking. So now, how is he learning? Pure Hananya, right? And there'd be no problem, and he obviously understands that Kasavar Matmitin Lahazirtaman. He understands that the Mishnah is referring to Chazora, and when it comes to Shehiyah, you don't even need grief of Iketima, and you don't need that it should be Mevushal Kol Tzorchal. All you need is Mevushal Kemaychob and Drusoy, and everything is fine. Abolishot, Mashin Abobishen, and Gorufa, and Okatun. Oh, my Rabbi, says Rabbi, well, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to do. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan is what? He's trying to tell us, like, the bottom line, halacha on this. It's Havaya Tanani. I mean, anybody who knows the Mishnahs knows that there are other Mishnayot that essentially tell us exactly what he just told us. Lishot, I mean, I'm going to show you in another Mishnah that it says, Beferush, you don't need grief of the Ketima for Shia. And the other halacha of the idea of the lo yavzir ela in gain, also obviously that it says right over here. So the lishot tanina, where do I claim that there's a Mishnah that tells us exactly what Hananya said? It says ein odim et apat betoch hatanur im chashecha v'lo charara agabe gechalim ela kitei sheyikrum upaneo. Amen. Yikrum upaneo. Yikrum upaneo is like the first stage. This bread needs to be baked through. They're telling you as long as it gets a little bit hard, so it's got some crust, it's okay if I put it in before Shabbos. So I'm going to be leaving it in. It's going to continue to cook, and I'm going to be eating basically something that's cooked on Shabbos. You told me it's okay for the Shehiyah, huh? That's what you're saying? So I'll karmu paneh. In other words, once it's karmu paneh, sure, it's mutter. I don't know. I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me what the bottom line is if I have a Mishnah that says so. And as far as Lahazir, that you can't put it back on the fire unless you did grief of Iketima. That's our Mishnah. I don't care how you learn our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Bifirush, Betilel Omrim, Af Marzirim. And what is Betilel referring to? To the Mishnah that was discussing Elohim Kain Dorabakatan. So, Loka Shoro Betilel, the grief of Iketuma, Avabishena Gufa Iketuma, lo. So, what's Ripshesh is quoting of Yochanan for about something that any idiot knows? No, Ripshesh was coming to tell me the Deacon and the Mishnah. I mean, it's not necessarily all that clear that Kormu Banez Mutter. So I said, well, what do you mean it isn't all that clear that carbon burner has mutter? I mean, what do you think it is then? That's not something that requires anybody to point it out. He must mean, and one must mean over here, our Mishnah isn't clear. In other words, that Rav Sheshet was coming to explain our Mishnah, that the Chisuri B'chatzur, and it's going Aliv L'Chananya, that whole piece, that's what he was referring to. Exactly, and it's still mutter. That's the whole point. You see from here that Rav Yochanan is Pesachus of the Farish Mishnah. All right, I'm going to let you go since I seem to be losing your concentration here. We'll catch up, Ezra Hashem. Oh, yes. You'll be sorry. Very good, very good. Lamazan. Okay, so we were up to the Tashma. We want to know whether the Mishnah is going like Hananya. In this case, it was referring to Chazorah, and only Chazorah, but she has mutter, or whether it's going on Shehiyah itself, Shaloka Kananda, Tashma. That's only Lashon al Gaba about Tochasur. Okay, Toshma maybe from here. Shtei kirot amatimot achat grufa tuma, achat she'ina grufa ve'ina ketuma, mashin agabe grufa tuma ve'in mashina she'ina grufa ve'ina ketuma. Uma hin mashin, Beit Shammai amrim, nothing. Ubeit Yilel amrim, chamin avalo tafsha. Akach, get about it. Dibre hakol lo yach, dibre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Beit Shammai amrim, chamin avalo tafshil, Ubeit Yilel amrim, chamin ve'tafshil. Beit Shammai amrim, notmin avalo marzirin, Beit Yilel amrim, af marzirin. Allah. So then, matnitin money, Rabbi Yehuda. Eliyam lachzir tnan. Matnitin money. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Of course, I mean, kasha lebeit Shammai bechad lebeit Hillel betarte. But even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's kasha. It's all the same, except for grufa v'ketuma. So our mission would be saying even she'ena grufa v'ketuma would be saying daf grufa v'ketuma. Liyola meim alach lachzir tnan. And indeed, it's not like anybody. But tani b'dan sava like Rabbi Yehuda bechad. Or polik lebechad. Sava like Rabbi Yehuda bechad, meaning on all of the issues, chamin, tasha, not machzirin. The one question that he's taking it a step further. And Rabbi Yehuda said, "L'shot nami goruv v'katum only and ilolo ibaylo." Now let's smoke in the cases that it's asaranta. Tocha v'gava asur av l'smoke shapri. Don't you know the other shna? Tashma. Shteki otamatimot achat grufa k'tuma. Achat she'ina grufa k'tuma. Mashin agav grufa k'tuma. V'yaf agav v'kasolik v'yaf ola midach. We want to know up close. Tashma, the Amr of Safra, Amr of Chia, Kotma, Beniflapta. Somchimla, Mekamina, Leonot, Limimena, Marzila. Anyway, Shmamina, Lismoch, Nami, is only Kotma in the low Kotma low. Oh, yeah? Well, the time if not Limimena, also Diktani, is only Kotma in low Kotma low. Since when? Elotani, not Limimena, Shum Marzirim, so fine, of an Amitanis of him, Mishum Mekamim. You have to say not lean if you're going to say marzirin. What? Why mention it? Okay, but lemais by habiyala tushma. Here she sikua begefet ubeisim. Somchim la ve'in mekaimim ela im kein grufa uktuma yechalim she'amamu or she'natan alei anoret shel pishtan daka harei hi kiktuma, which proves somchim la, but only Rufa Ketum is required for Kiyum, not for Somchim. Omer Vita Ben Achmei, Omer Ben Shia Katma, Buhuvara, Mashina Leacham, Yishuch Mu Kol Tzorchan, Betafshir Shabishel Kol Tzorcho, Shema Amina, that even though it's Mitzdamik V'yacholo, it's Mutar. Well, Shani Ach the Katma. So, Yaki Maila Meimra. No, Uvara is Tzrikali, Mata Tema. Kiven Shuvara, Hadar Al Milta Kamayta, Kamashmalan. Omer Abba Baba Khan, Omer Yochanan Katma, Buhuvara, Mashina Leachamim, Shuchmu Kol Tzorchan, ותאפשר שבישל כל צרכן, ואפילו גחלים של רוטה. תשמע מן המסתם עם גבל המותר, שאני אך את הכתבה, יחי מה למימה, הוא עבר את צריך עליי. So I know how. גחלים של רוטה מצריך עליי. אומר את שישי סומר רבי יוחנן קיר, שסיכו בגף את הביצים, משין עליה, חמין שלא הוכמו כל צרכן, תאפשר שלא בישל כל צרכו, ועד עקר לא יחזיר עד שיגרות, או עד שייתן איפר. Clearly, Kasover matnitin lachzir tznan, אבל ישות משין, like Chananya, אבל בישינו גרוף, ואין הכתום. Omar Rav, that's so big deal. Tarvaya Tanani. Lisha Tanina? Says, they not need a path to talk at an Urim Kashikha. Velo Karara, Gabig Yichali. Elekadeshi, Yikmu Panana, clearly. Hokar Mupanea, Shori Lars. Shori. Lahazanami, that's our Mishnah. Tzidah. Beitilel omri ma'afak zirin. Liat kan lo kashor beitilel ala begufa vektumah. Ava b'sheina gufa vektumah lo. So what's the point? The point of Sheshis was the damage you can imagine from Marshmallow. That's it. Okay.